Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage's completely online process lets you get a custom mortgage solution wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Arne Duncan, former U.S. Secretary of Education and one of the cabinet members closest to President Obama, is back in his hometown, Chicago. Backed by major money, he's got a plan to tackle the violence tearing up vast swaths of Chicago's south and west sides. 668 homicides so far this year in Chicago. Almost 4,000 people shot. Duncan wants to replace guns with real job opportunities. It's a challenge. He says it may be the only way. This hour on Point, Arne Duncan, and more on Chicago, guns, and jobs. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Are work and a paycheck enough to bring peace to neighborhoods ruled by gangs, enough to bring peace to Chicago? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now in the studios of WBEZ in Chicago is Arne Duncan, former U.S. Secretary of Education. The New York Times called him one of the most powerful education secretaries in history. He was and remains the longest-serving member of President Obama's cabinet, former CEO before Washington of the Chicago Public Schools, and now, with the backing of Lorene Powell Jobs Philanthropy, the Emerson Collective, this native Chicagoan has returned to the city with a highly targeted jobs program. The target is Chicago's gun violence. Arne Duncan, welcome to On Point.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's really great to have you right here. And with us in the studio at WBEZ, also Curtis Toler, a community change leader with the Emerson Collective, former gang leader in Chicago. Curtis Toler, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
And with us here, Carl Vinay, recently participating in this pilot jobs training program in the Pullman neighborhood on Chicago's far south side. Goes all the way back to Pullman cars, I guess, and we'll look at that. Now working full-time in a transitional job, 23 years old. Carl, thanks so much for coming in.
How are you doing? Thank you.
It's great to have you right here. Arne Duncan, before we dive into what you're up to, let's just look at the scale of the problem. I mean, when we got focused on this, everyone's heard about it, of course. The gun violence in Chicago has been terrible. I look back just these last two weekends. Weekend before last was the second weekend in a row that more than 50 people were shot in Chicago. I guess this is just this last weekend. Weekend before last, 17 fatally shot, deadliest weekend of the year. And then just this last weekend, 50 people shot in Chicago, more than 660 now killed so far this year. From Friday afternoon to late Sunday, 10 killed, 41 others wounded in shootings across Chicago. This is almost, I hate to put it this, it's almost like Aleppo-scale civilian casualties here, Arne.
It's beyond the crisis point, and it's absolutely heartbreaking, and it's just so fundamentally unacceptable. And, you know, we'll get into it, but the level of fear that is in our communities that our guys are living with is staggering. I think the part that hurts me the most is that we're taking children's childhoods away. Children can't play outside anymore. And the number of kids and parents who tell me that they either are in school or in the house, and they can't go outside. And that's just sort of unimaginable, that that's become normal. And I spent all my time growing up playing basketball in the south and west side neighborhoods, and it wasn't always the safest, but it was safe enough. This kind of thing was not going on. And the fact that we have kids imprisoned, you know, in schools and lockdowns, imprisoned in their homes, we have to do better. We have to do better.
Carl Vinay, you're 23 years old. You've been out there. Can you see the fear? Let's just start with children in these neighborhoods. Your neighborhood, can you feel it? Can you see it?
Yes, sir. I've been here for quite a while, and I've seen it's very dramatic, very very traumatic to these children. And you know, every day, you know, kids have to find different ways of trying to keep themselves safe. You know, it's real hard, very hard.
It must be hard on their psychology, on their minds, just living with all that shooting going
on. Most definitely. And you know, every summer, you know, I just feel like it gets worse and worse. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I feel like what we're doing right now is definitely going to work.
Okay. Curtis Toler, what drives this? Like shooting by shooting, is this about turf? Is it about drug turf? Is it about pride? Is it about Describe the dynamic that produces so many shootings. What's actually going on?
Well, there's no one size that fits all, right? It's a conglomeration of things. I hate to sound so cliche, but hurt people hurt people, right? Wherever there's poverty, whether it's in Chicago, Baltimore, or another country, wherever there's poverty, there's usually high rates of crime. So, and people like to say that we have a gang problem, which is somewhat true, but we don't only have a gang problem. Mm-hmm. We have a people problem, right? Because behavior is learned, and they're learning this behavior from somewhere, right? And we just have to come up with a solution to try to unlearn this unrational behavior that's going on here.
But when the gun comes out and somebody's finger's on the trigger and they're pulling it, does it tend to be for a directly economic reason? You are dealing drugs on my turf, get out? Or is it more emotional? I'm sure it's both, but what dominates? Or can you even pull them apart?
Yeah. They have a term that's going on. They are social emotional killers, right? It's usually not about finances, right? When I was coming up, you know, in the early 90s,
not directly.
You know, it was more of a turf thing or, you know, a drug thing. Now it's more of a I just don't like you type of thing, because if you don't value yourself, how can you value someone else's life?
Arne Duncan, you've come back to Chicago, and here's this problem. The whole country, the whole world is, I mean, watching this at this point. Chicago's not the only city, but it is the most prominent grappling with this. And you've got a program you're just beginning to lift up here for jobs. Now, I think people sometimes sit back and say, oh, boy, you know, it sounds like, is that do-gooder? Is that just sniffing around the edges? How do you really come to terms with this? On the other hand, as I read and think about it, in the end, I don't know how you do get a lid on this if people don't have something else to do and a way of supporting themselves and their families and envisioning a better future. But what are you up to, Arne?
So let me sort of backtrack for a second, give you a little bit of history of why I chose to do this work. So as you said earlier, I spent seven and a half years running the Chicago Public Schools, which I loved doing. The only job I would have left Chicago was to go work for the president in D.C.
And that's before you went off for 7 years as education secretary until last December.
Correct. And when I ran the Chicago Public Schools, we had lots of, you know, real challenges, whether budget issues or raising student achievement or, you know, labor management piece. And we, you know, those are not easy, but we could work through those. But by far the hardest issue, the hardest challenge was the number of our Chicago public school students who were being killed due to guns. And during the time that I was here, those 7.5 years, we lost on average one child every 2 weeks due to gun violence. It was a staggering rate of loss. And going to those funerals, spending time in kids' homes, going to classrooms where there's an empty desk and trying to explain the senseless, trying to make sense of the senseless, nothing was harder. And Tom, honestly, very, very naively, when I left, I just thought it couldn't get worse. There was no way in my mind it could get worse.
A kid dying every 2 weeks sounds just horrible.
Horrific. And the vast majority, overwhelming majority, innocent victims. Mm-hmm. And in the 7 years my family and I were in D.C., things got a lot worse. And so coming home, I really didn't have a plan, didn't know what I wanted to do, but just felt compelled to – people, you know, you got to help. You got to do something. You got to try and figure this out. And this was – you know, so many people helped me growing up in Chicago. So many people were role models for me. So many people, frankly, protected me and gave me opportunity. I just thought we had to try and do something. So I spent a lot of time just listening. You know, this is not a new issue.
In the jails, in the prisons.
Cook County Jail, talking to guys on the street. And in crisis, there is always opportunity. And the two things that just resonated everywhere I talked to, everyone I talked to, was one, it is so violent. It is so bad out there. Guys are looking to get out. They're tired. They're scared. Mm-hmm. They're not winning. Nobody's winning now. Mm-hmm. Second, there's this myth that everyone's getting rich on the streets. They're not. There's this myth that all these drug dealers are rolling in big cars and whatever. Most of these guys are risking their lives every single day, being chased by police. And they're making like less minimum wage. So as I talked to folks in Cook County Jail, I talked to folks on the street, I always said, sort of, here's my grand bargain. I want to give you a job. We want to hire you, but you got to stop shooting. You got to stop doing this stuff. And what does that take? What's that price
point? What pile of money would that require?
And both the opportunity, but the heartbreak is guys at $12, $13, $14 an hour. It's nothing. So we quite, as a society.
You mean if I was making $12, $13, $14 an hour, I'd be off the street.
I'm out.
Forget the gun. I'm out of the game.
I'm out. And the fact that we as a society are quite happy to lock people up at $55,000, $60,000 a year and won't give them a job. One guy in Cook County Jail, you know, I said, if I did that, you know, would you take it? He said, Arne, I'm in. He's one of the street leaders. And I asked him, he's from the west side of Chicago and Austin. I said, what if I didn't give you one job? What if I gave you five jobs for you and your guys? he thought for a minute. He said, Arne, if you gave me five jobs, 75% of the shooting in my neighborhood goes away. Now, I don't know if he's exaggerating. I don't know if it's 50%. I don't know if it's 20%. But Tom, if 10% of the shooting goes away in Austin for five jobs, that's a pretty good deal. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good deal. Many of these guys get caught in this life because at 12, 13, 14, they have to become the breadwinners in their family. Mm-hmm. Dad is gone. Mom is struggling. They have to eat. They have to take care of siblings. They have to help pay the rent. And there's one person, one employer. That's the local gangs. There's no other options. And so I don't make any more value judgments. They make a choice. It's a choice often of last resort. We need to just present some other rational choices, and many, many, many guys, I'm convinced the vast majority, will take that.
Carl Vinay, you're 23. You know that street. Is that happy talk, or do you buy it? $14 an hour, and people are going to put down the gun and be done with that?
Yes, most definitely, because it's like I said from the beginning, it's a traumatic situation, experience. Guys are tired of going, you know, of having to think about what they got to do to survive. It's too much, you know what I'm saying? So, of course, you know, you get offered an opportunity like that, it's time to make a change.
And that's not there now? You can't get a $12 an hour job in Pullman?
No, you can't. I mean, nowadays, let's be honest, minimum wage is just now barking up on $10, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that's luck, by luck that you get a $10 hour job, you know what I'm saying? White Castles pay $11, and that's not really for sure.
Yeah, so, if you can get that job.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
So, Tom, I want to just add quickly that for me, the job piece is important, but I want to go back to the social-emotional support, the trauma, the wraparound services. These guys have lived with a level of trauma for years that you and I think, will never fully understand. And so you have to look at the whole piece. Housing, employment, wraparound services, social emotional support, trauma, parenting. A lot of these young men are dads. We have to look at the whole ball of wax.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with former U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan, looking at his bid to take on the gun violence of Chicago with jobs. You can join us this hour. Have you watched the murder numbers soar in Chicago? What about your town, your city? Does this ever end if we don't get jobs in there? Are jobs enough? What else will it take? And who's going to hire all these young men in all these cities and beyond and keep hiring them? We're at the studios of WBEZ, beautiful spot on Navy Pier on the shores of Lake Michigan. Chicago looks great. The skyline's unbelievable behind us here. But you get out into all those neighborhoods, so many on the south and west side, and it is tough out there. It is really tough out there. We're talking 50 shootings in a weekend. We're talking 17 deaths weekend before last, 10 deaths last weekend, and numbers that are just off the charts. Arne Duncan is with us here in the studio. Curtis Toler is with us as well. He's working with the Emerson Collective. It's a group. This is funded by Steve Jobs' widow, Lorene Powell Jobs, who's come in and said, hey, Arne, let's work on this. Curtis Toler's got a lot of experience in the streets, and he's with us in the studio today. Also here, 23-year-old Carl Vinay, who is one of the participants in this. He's now working full-time in a transitional job, formerly homeless, dropped out of high school, working on his GED now. It's not easy. It is not easy out there. Arne, describe exactly what you're doing so people can assess it and weigh it. What are you really trying – exactly what are you trying to do here? What's the program?
It's very simple. We are trying to reduce the number of homicides, and we're trying to reduce the number of people being shot in Chicago.
How?
And our strong hypothesis, strong belief is that we can't arrest our way out of this. We can't police our way out of this. We have to give guys an opportunity and hope to make it in the legal economy. And when young men are hopeless, when they're desperate, when there are no options, they resort to behavior that's extraordinarily destructive to the community and very self-destructive. And so what we're doing is we're creating a series of job opportunities. We're paying $15 an hour. We're saying to young men, we value your time. We can't just say, put down the guns. You have to eat. You have to have a roof over your head. You have to raise your children. And we're going to work with you, work through the trauma that you've been experiencing for so long, and help you get to a place where we can start to transition you into longer jobs. And so thinking about all the wraparound services, but it's basically saying, we love you, we care, we're so sorry for all the things you've been through. We can't turn back the clock, but just as Kurt and others have turned their life around, again, I'm convinced the vast majority of young men who engaged in this extraordinarily self-destructive, community-destructive behavior, they want something better. They want to do something different. We have to meet them halfway. Okay. They will meet us halfway.
We get that. But what's the program? I mean, you've been in Washington. You know how they sit there, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Bank and everybody else, their job is to increase employment. Yeah. And yet in many places we've got terrible unemployment. I've read 40% or higher here in neighborhoods of Chicago.
Right. So, Tom, the challenge is you're hitting the nail on the head that no one is hiring on the south and west sides of Chicago. Very few people are hiring other than the local underground economy, the illegal economy, which leads to the level of violence. And so we have to meet young men where they are. There's a stunning statistic that
came
out.
Chicago's a big city, Arnie. Even with Lorene Powell Jobs' fortune behind her, she's worth $18 billion, I'm reading here. You know, Chicago's a big city. That's a lot of young people out there.
It's a lot of young people, but these are real people. These aren't numbers. These are stats. These aren't stats. These are young
people. But there are numbers of them, and the numbers are big.
Well, let me walk you through why the numbers actually don't scare me.
Okay.
If you look at the percent of young men who are, quote-unquote, disconnected from work and from employment, from work and from employment and from school, mm-hmm. it's about 47% of Chicago's young black men, okay. which is staggering. How can we have a strong city where half our young black men are not part of the world that you and I know?
What do you mean disconnected?
They are not in school and they are not working.
Okay. They're just living.
They're living on the streets.
If they can.
And to be clear, they're surviving. And they will do what it takes to survive. That's a human instinct.
Yeah.
So having said that, that number translates 47% to about, I don't have an exact number, 22, 23, 24,000.
Okay.
Think about, Tom, if every year we could move 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 young men mm-hmm. from the streets mm-hmm. to the legal economy.
Mm-hmm.
We can make a huge dent in this, not overnight. We are a long-term play. Mm-hmm. But over time, we can do this. And let me sort of walk you through how we think about this.
Yep.
There are 10 sectors where there's tremendous unfilled jobs, tremendous needs.
Industries. Like?
Healthcare, hospitality, culinary, advanced manufacturing. If we just put 200 young men in each of those 10 industries, you're at 2,000 right there in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, a lot of these guys, they're entrepreneurs. They've been entrepreneurs on the street, but they know customer service. They know distribution. They work hard. What if we grow local entrepreneurs in the legal economy? What if one of our guys wants to open a landscaping business? One guy wants to open a restaurant. How do we start to create those kinds of opportunities?
I read you saying that the skills involved in, for example, freight brokerage, moving freight, are not so different from the skills involved in drug dealing. Strong work ethic, good customer service, ability to organize a complex network, deal with unexpected developments.
Tom, I've been a CEO. A lot of these young guys are CEOs. Kurt was a CEO on the street.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have skills. They didn't go to Harvard Business School, but they have great skills.
A lot of them also have records, and you're focused on guys coming out of prison. Are they going to be hired with that record?
Well, again, it varies by industry, but if we don't give people a second chance, Tom, mm-hmm. in life, mm-hmm. if we don't, you know, if guys are making—
I'm all for it.
Guys are making tough choices at 16, 17, and 18,
yep.
and that condemns them for the rest of their life, we give them no alternative but to go back to the streets. And again, there's so many guys who have had to make those tough choices. I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying that they did the right thing. But they want something better. And I made bad choices. You made bad choices. President Obama made some bad choices growing up. We had second chances. We lived in more forgiving environments.
Yeah.
And when people want – now, you got to hold them accountable. You got to help them get to a better place. This is not a free lunch. This is not something that's easy. Got to challenge them every day and help them get there.
Mm-hmm.
But there is so much talent. There's so many skills. There's so much desire. Our young guys, we got a bunch of leaders who I think are going to be community leaders. I think they're going to lead this in a much more powerful way than I can. We have to put them in the opportunity to have that chance, have impact.
I mean, I want to believe, and yet it can start to sound, Kurt Toler, it can sound Pollyanna-ish. You know? I mean, if you go out there, do you think you can knock – how do you come up with the guys to participate in this program? You just put a sign up on a telephone pole? Do you go door by door? How do you know who's going to want to do it? And when you say $15 an hour, do they automatically say, yeah, I'm willing to do, you know, whatever it is, home demolition, whatever it is, for 15 bucks an hour? Do they step up? Do they want to?
You know what, Tom? Some do, some don't. Mm-hmm. That goes with anything that we do.
Of course.
But the majority, they do. And, you know, it was kind of – shocking to me of how many people were willing to come and do this work for the $15 an hour. And it was a like I said, a sum of everything that you did. Say we did mm-hmm. pass out flyers. We did mm-hmm. go corner to corner.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had some great community partners to also help us to recruit some of these great guys.
Do they have social standing when they do it? Is it seen as something to be proud of, or is it seen to be You know, like cheesy or wimpy or
Carl. What do your friends say?
Yeah, what do they say? You got a job. Is that admirable?
What did it feel like?
Well, hey, Tom. Once again, let me say this. Let me just start off with myself.
Yeah.
First of all, when I walk through the streets of Chicago, you know, when everybody sees us with our uniform on and just, you know, stepping away from that lifestyle, everyone just gives you that.
You've got it on right now. It says Chicago Cred.
Chicago Cred. Yes,
Cred
exactly.
Stands for
Creating Real Economic Destiny.
Real Economic Destiny. Okay,
yes.
Cred.
So,
good acronym.
So as I was saying, yes, everyone goes. I mean, they love it. You know what I'm saying? It's a new. A new way to see everyone cooperate with each other. You know what I'm saying? Especially black people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Kurt said in the beginning, we have people problems. You know what I'm saying? I feel like once we get that out the way, I feel like a lot of the gun violence and everything would, you know, go away.
What about on the employer side, Arnie?
Let me add one thing quickly.
Yeah.
We started talking about this disconnectedness, but honestly, we found this cohort with two guys, Kurt and Craig Nash, in like 10 days.
You got a cohort that's still relatively small.
Relatively small.
How many?
30 guys.
30
started,
guys.
Yeah. But there were a lot more who were interested.
We're giving you a lot of credit here that you can turn that thin edge of the wedge into something bigger.
No, we are definitely in our infancy. We're making mistakes every day. We have to crawl before we can walk.
Yeah.
But my point is, it's not that these guys are disconnected from us. It's that we're disconnected from them. This was not a hard recruitment effort. And maybe we got wildly lucky. I don't think so, Tom. I think as we start to expand and go to other neighborhoods, south and west sides, I think we will be equally successful. There's tremendous demand. Men are looking for these kinds of opportunities.
So what's the deal that you offer? I mean, is the Lorraine Powell Jobs money paying for them to go to work, or is it paying for job training or both?
We are paying the young men for their time to get the hard and soft skills, the technical skills.
This is like job training.
Job training, the social emotional support, and then help to stabilize their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Again, think through everything. Think through housing.
Mm-hmm.
Think through parenting. Think through substance abuse. And these are real tough issues. Think through further education. Finish your GED. Go back to high school. Think about community college. You know, what's your education plan?
Yeah.
But if we can stabilize guys, you know, 4, 5, 6 months, and some guys are ready quicker than others.
Yeah.
Some might take a little more time. That's real. Then to put them, you know, spin them out into the legal economy. To be clear, we've had a number of hospitals, you know, Hyatt, Let Us Entertain You. We've had a number of folks in the private sector say, we're willing to partner with you. And again, it's still early. We're going to work that through.
Are
but they're
going to pay their wages?
No, absolutely not.
Private sector paying
absolutely not. And this, to be clear, Tom, this can't be charity. This is not philanthropy.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a very different talent pool.
Yeah.
But young men who are resilient, who are smart, who are hardworking, who want to make a difference, who want to change, those are some pretty good employees.
How big can it go? You've got a deep pocket behind you right now with the widow of Steve Jobs, but how big can this go?
So, again, we have to be ambitious here, Tom. If we do this for 5 years and we reduce gun violence by 5%, we would have failed. We would have failed. And we just have to think about, you know, at scale over time. And we can't do this by ourselves. Lots of other folks are going to partner or partner with the city and private sector. But this has to be all of us as a city coming together saying that Chicago is a world-class city, but it's not what we want it to be today. None of us can be proud right now. We have to do better. And the epiphany I had, Tom, which is, I mean, it's sort of common sense, but if we actually want to reduce violence, if we actually want to reduce shootings, we have to work with the guys who are actually doing the shooting.
Well, of course. I mean, what else? I mean, the police work with them, quote unquote.
But no one has been doing that, Tom. That's my point. That's the missing thing. No one has been working directly with
Chicago
these guys.
Doesn't want this. Nobody wants it. But employers have to step up and do it. Are they really going to do that? You're offering them to begin with young men with criminal records. Now, we understand why. We understand the circumstance. Yeah. But still, a lot of companies have policies against that if it's a serious enough crime.
Yeah, some do, some don't. So again, Tom, we have to look at sort of a portfolio approach. So there are a whole set of companies, and I don't want to jinx myself, but to date, not one has said no. So every CEO I've talked to has said yes.
Okay.
So that's a pool. Then we have to think about, can we grow local businesses? Can we help these young men be entrepreneurs and own their own businesses and do things in the community, which is very positive? Then third thing we're looking at, there are four buckets. The third one we're looking at is, can we bring in major employers, companies like Shinola in Detroit that has a watchmaking
factory.
Yeah,
they make cool products.
I was at their board meeting last week. We're trying to bring them to the south side of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We're working on thinking about a call center in the Englewood community, 600, 800 jobs. So we look at all that. And the final thing, Tom, and part of what we're doing now in the transition jobs is these neighborhoods, high crime, high unemployment. We all know that. Don't have many assets, but what do they have? they have a lot of abandoned buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
what if we can work on those buildings, bring them back, take neighborhood liabilities, make them neighborhood assets? A lot of our
make
guys
them are, livable, attractive,
make them livable,
appealing homes or businesses.
A lot of our guys have worked with their hands, have done a big part of what the jobs we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
What if we could pick a neighborhood, Englewood, Lawndale, Auburn Gresham, 50 homes, 100 homes. What if we could bring those back online, give them to people, sweat equity, whatever the model is, and start to have our guys not tearing up the neighborhoods but actually fixing them? That's pretty powerful.
Arne Duncan, former U.S. Secretary of Education, is with us in Chicago in the studios of WBEZ. Curtis Toler is here. Carl Vinay is here. We've got callers for all of you. Let me go to Matt calling from Spokane, Washington, way out west. Matt, thank you for calling. You're on the air with us here in Chicago.
Hi, Tom. My question is, first, let me preface this. It sounds like Secretary Duncan is trying to plug people into the old economy that has failed us and has produced the results that we see in Chicago and in West Central Spokane, where I'm trying to do some good. And, Tom, you've done a show, and I very much appreciate it, on worker cooperatives. So my question is, has Secretary Duncan looked at the Cleveland model, and if not, why not?
I think we have to look. It's a great question, Tom, Matt. I appreciate it. We have to look at everything. So yes, we have to look at traditional sectors, and again, in the hospitality space, in the healthcare space, in advanced manufacturing, there are not hundreds; there are thousands of jobs available right now. In Chicago and just outside Chicago. So we need to look at that.
But it sounds like Matt's involved in this, and he's skeptical. Yeah.
Let me just keep going. Yeah. We need to look at everything. We need to look at the new economy. That's why I talked a lot about growing local entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Helping young men start to do their own things. We have to bring in other folks. Mm-hmm. And so this can't be a one-size-fits-all. And to be clear, Tom, we all have different skills and interests. As we talk about 30 guys or 300, eventually 3,000, we can't say, you have to go do this. What's your passion? What's your interest? What would you love to do? We need to have multiple pathways, 5, 6, 7 different options, and let guys figure out what they would love to do for the rest of life.
So you can scale this up when all the years you were in Washington, the federal government works hard on bringing down unemployment figures. They put out numbers all the time. So many jobs created this month, last month. You can do this from the ground up?
Well, Tom, the public sector has a role to play, and I'm a big believer in good government and worked in government for the past 17 years. There's also a really important play for the private sector. And, Tom, let me be really clear. This is not welfare. This is trying to create real economic opportunity.
But in Pullman, it's called Pullman because Pullman cars, I guess, were made or based there. And a lot of people worked on those cars. That was a good job, especially in the African-American community, for many years.
Correct.
It's just not there now. And many other factories aren't there either.
That's why we have the crisis we have. So that's you're describing the past.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go to the future. So Pullman has a rich history of being a strong black middle-class community.
Mm-hmm.
Pullman has fallen on hard times and is struggling. But as part of what we're doing is, can we bring some of these Pullman homes back online?
Mm-hmm.
Can we start to have more families move into Pullman and create jobs? Can we help these young men be part of that new economy in the Pullman area? Our partners, there's a guy named David Doy who's been fantastic. He's created about between 1,000 and 1,500 jobs in the Pullman area. Folks are starting to come back in. So we have a long way to go. But this is the only way we're going to get there.
Curt Toler, do you feel it in your gut? Do you see the volume, the number of jobs available here? Can it be done without a big old factory coming in there? As our caller in Spokane says, the old economy. Can you do it this way?
Tom, it has to be done, right? Mm-hmm. If we really want to solve this real problem that we have, then like Arnie was saying, we're in the business of creating jobs as well. We're just not looking to go into those old sectors because we know that some of those sectors, they have failed some of those African-American males.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking to do social enterprises with these young men. Anything that they could dream of with their mind that could bring some jobs and opportunity to them, then we're willing to try it.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings home financing into the 21st century with a completely online process that's fast, easy, and convenient. Using a phone or tablet, you can safely share bank statements and pay stubs without having to dig through piles of paperwork. It takes just a few minutes to get a custom mortgage solution on your terms, wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about former U.S. Education Secretary Arne Duncan's bid to take on the gun violence of Chicago with jobs. He's with us in the studios here of WBEZ in Chicago, along with Curtis Toler, who's working with him at the so-called Emerson Collective. This is a philanthropy. It's funded by the widow of Steve Jobs, Lorene Powell Jobs. They are putting people to work, young men, and we've got listeners asking us, why just men? I want to come to that. Why not women? In tough neighborhoods in Chicago where the gun violence this year is just off the charts. Arne Duncan says there's no other way. Kurt Toler's with us. Carl Vinay is with us as well. He's one of the young men who is engaged in this right now, working in a full-time transitional job, $15 an hour. These young men are telling Arne Duncan and Kurt Toler, and yes, they will come off the street, get out of the life, happy to do it. It seems like a pretty good bargain. What do you make of this effort? And more than this, what's your question for Arne Duncan on his jobs push? What's your question for Arne Duncan on this epic week in national politics, on what he learned in Washington, on the Obama years, on the coming of Donald Trump, how that may intersect all this and a lot more? Let's go right to the question from women who are writing to us online saying, wait a minute, why just guys? Women need jobs too.
Women do need jobs too, and I think that's important, and we can absolutely look at that going forward. What I'm trying to stay laser focused on, Tom, is reducing shootings. And the truth of the matter is the overwhelming majority of shootings are young men of color shooting young men of color. We have 15 neighborhoods that are producing 75% of the violence in Chicago. It's highly concentrated. As you said, downtown is beautiful. You go 2 miles to the west, a couple miles south. It's a very, very different world. And so trying to stay focused on the crisis, we have to help young men. Do we have to help young women going forward? Absolutely as well. But we have to stay focused on the neighborhoods and on the men. The vast majority of this is coming from African-American men, 17 to 24, who are both the victims and the perpetrators. And the profile of who is shooting and who is being shot is tragically the same. And it's often the same person.
Hey, Kurt Toler, I was walking down Michigan Avenue last night, and, you know, it's gorgeous. The central Chicago is gorgeous. And thinking about talking with all of you today and how bad it's been in neighborhoods that, as Arne says, are just a couple of miles away, how do they even pull that off? How do you keep that tidal wave of violence that's in Pullman and other much closer neighborhoods on the south and west side? Why isn't that right down in the Golden Mile?
That's a question that we ask ourselves all the time, unfortunately.
Why doesn't it spill over? Is there a blue wall somewhere that I just can't see?
You know, it's always been the tale of two cities here in Chicago. It's always been separation and segregation. And unfortunately, those neighborhoods that are a different color from us are usually the ones that are more safe.
Just because, Carl, guys in your neighborhood just don't take it there?
Listen, let me make this a little bit more clear. You said the downtown area?
Yeah.
If I could go back just a couple of years ago, this was the area of snatching phones. So I beg to differ.
Snatching phones, okay.
Right. So,
still, take my phone, not my life. It's a better deal.
Right. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still crime. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
We got callers for you. Chris in Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for calling, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Secretary Duncan and other guests. I am so excited for your program. I live up in Madison, but I grew up in Chicago, and I want to be a part of the solution. I want to be a part of loving people I don't know that don't look like me, because we are all in this together. And I'd suggest a crowdfunding site. You know, we can all contribute to something much greater than any of the one of ourselves, and people care. People don't know what to do. It is so inspiring to hear this program because it's like, yes, we can, and yes, we must, hyphen together, exclamation point.
Hey, Chris, are you saying crowdfunding for Chicago or crowdfund to let every community do some version of this if they could, if they will?
It could go anyway. I'd love, as a girl from Chicago, I'd love to see a crowdfunding site for this initiative, you know, where you get buy-in from the larger human community, where we say, okay, it's not just about sending money. It's about what's the intention for how you send money. This is love in action. You know, money can be love in action. And your great point. We could do it in different places. We can do it up here in Madison. I was just at a community last night. So I'll be in touch with the Emerson Project to, you know, get these ideas so that it can spread like wildfire.
Chris, I appreciate your call. The Emerson Collective, the Emerson Collective. Arnie, are you open? Are you ready for a Kickstarter campaign here?
No, it's a great thought. And Chris, again, just more than anything, just appreciate your heart. And so there are a couple pieces. Yes, welcome support, absolutely. We need folks to mentor. We need folks to be in these young men's lives. And again, they've been through a lot. And we need ultimately, again, this can't just be charity. This has to be people willing to say, I want to hire. I want these young men to be part of my business. I want them to help me be successful. Mm-hmm. And so we need all of these different pieces. And this isn't easy. And like I said, we have guys struggling every single day. We're learning every single day. We're making more than our share of mistakes. But I'm so hopeful about where we can go because these are great young men at heart.
Talk Turkey now. How's that hiring part really going? Because if people don't come up with the jobs.
Yeah. So again, just to be very, very clear, our guys are not we're just going to start spinning guys out into other jobs in the new year. So we're not quite there yet. Yeah. But I have not had a CEO yet say no to me. So I'll just walk through Blue Cross Blue Shield. Mm-hmm. They're in. Rush Hospital is in. Mm-hmm. Northwestern Hospital is in. Mm-hmm. University of Chicago is in. Echo Logistics is in. Hyatt Hotel is in. Let Us Entertain You is in. Mm-hmm. Shinola is very, very seriously considering coming to Chicago in 2017. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Long way to go. Again, I'm repeating myself. We got to crawl before we can walk. But people are willing, and they understand.
Does this mean, Arnie, you spent a lot of time in the Obama cabinet. Does this mean that the federal government can't do this?
No, Tom. No, nobody gets off the hook. So let me just say, we have all, and I said this publicly, we're all failing right now. When you talk about 700 murders, when you talk about 5,000-6,000 people being shot.
17 dead in one weekend? Are you kidding me?
My son's basketball practice last night, two guys were shot outside his basketball practice last night. And this is just real. So none of us can say we're winning now. None of us can say we're succeeding. All of us, federal, state, local, philanthropy, private sector, all of us, to get different results, we all have to behave in very different ways.
Eileen in Hartford, Connecticut. Thank you for calling, Eileen. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. First, I want to congratulate Curtis for getting out of the life. I know that takes tremendous strength and resiliency. And you will influence thousands of little boys and little girls. And I really think that men coming out of prison should have the same opportunities that you do. I spent 20 years working in the prison system. And in one of my roles, I did long-term treatment and therapy with men, many who come from environments just like Chicago. And there's a few things. Our prisons are basically repositories for all of society's failures, from families to schools to social service agencies to local and federal government. I think many of these men never had a chance. But the problem in the prison system is when there are budget cuts, the first thing that goes are the humane and the human the human resources in the prison system.
Yeah.
And what's left behind are the locks, the chains, and the bars.
And nothing more sometimes.
And I think, right. And these guys come out and they're demonized, and people are very afraid of ex-offenders. And I think a lot of that is the mythology and a lot of the negative press that happens around, some of these inner-city neighborhoods.
Yeah, Eileen, we've got it. Arnie Duncan and the Emerson Collective trying to get beyond that here. Not easy.
If we give Kurt just a minute to tell his story, because it is not
please,
easy.
Kurt.
And this is not a linear path. But he's been through a lot. But again, he's amazing. But I just think there are lots of other amazing guys like him that have to have an opportunity to make a difference. But
how did it happen, Kurt?
Walk through a little bit of your background and what you've been through.
Just to fall back on what she said, that's absolutely the truth, because I have the saying that being incarcerated didn't make me better, it made me worse, because I wasn't provided with those services that I really needed at that particular time.
How many years or how much time? I don't know.
Like 6 years.
Okay.
But to come to what led me to that, right? I was abused mentally and physically as a youth. My dad was shot in the head, former gang leader. And unfortunately, my stepdad killed my mom, and I found her in the garage at the age of 17. So that created the creation of the monster that I eventually became. No one showed up at my door when my mom was killed and said, Kurt, here you go. Here's the services that you need. So that was the road to my self-destruction.
Yeah, well, that is understandable. How do you pull up out of that? How did that happen? If you didn't get help in prison, where did it come from?
Well, I was one of the fortunate ones because, unbeknownst to myself, I had a lot of people who believed more in me than I believed in myself. Mm. So that was part of my redemption plan. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. That is, I mean, to come back from that, that takes something. That really takes something.
And I wish that was a unique story. I can't tell how many other young guys who have been through very, very similar stuff. This is real. This is reality.
Yeah.
And we either turn the blind eye and act like we can't handle it, mm-hmm. or we do something about it.
Got to be real right here. I want to go to Sarah in New Orleans. Sarah, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. I think you guys are really on the right track, and it's very exciting. But I wonder, because the individuals you will be working with, they likely have a lot of anger and have probably developed habits of using violence to deal with anger or conflict or miscommunication. Is there a mental health component that will provide them with, say, weekly cognitive behavioral training to help teach them new coping mechanisms for situations that might be uncomfortable or hard for them?
It's a great question out of New Orleans. Sarah, thanks for it. Carl's jumping in here. Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Sarah? Just to answer your question, we all as brothers have been assigned a life coach. Kurt, a life coach sitting here himself. And just to explain, just to tell you the results of it, I can tell you that I've been through a lot of stuff in my life. And when I tell you, just because of my life coach is the reason why I get up out the bed and go to work every day.
Mm. Is that, Arnie, is it enough? Is that part of the wraparound services, kind of almost mental health backup?
Again, mental health, social emotional support, trauma care. If anything, we're not doing enough and should be doing more. And so we have an amazing small team that's working through these issues every day. As you said, we have coaches for everybody. But this is hard work. And again, this is not a straight path. We have guys who are doing amazing. We have guys who are struggling. Mm-hmm. We have guys that are doing great one day and struggle the next. But I think that's true of all of us.
Yeah.
But we got to give folks a chance. And what Kurt and Craig and Lila and Becky and Deborah, what our team is doing, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
Larry,
we're hiring counselors as we speak right now as well, so clinicians
Good. Working it. Larry in Kingston, Wisconsin. Larry, you're on.
Thank you, Tom and Ernie. I think in the summers, you could ask for tradesmen that are retired. And for what I understand, tradesmen in Chicago have pretty good benefits. You could ask them to come into those neighborhoods that you were talking about that have abandoned houses. And you could block off an area and train kids over the summer in the trades, electricity, plumbing, refrigeration.
Yeah, a lot of heads nodding here.
You could get some young people and, you could have, social services down there, and you could use people that just got back from Afghanistan and Iraq, our military
vets.
To use them guys to protect the area and give them jobs too.
Protect the area. I get a little nervous there. I want
you have some smart listeners here, Tom. So a couple things. So the idea of really guys learning the trades, and not everyone wants to go into construction, but a set of guys do.
Yep.
And so really thinking through what are those apprenticeships, what are those career paths. There's a technical institute here, Washburn, that we want to start to send some guys to. That absolutely makes sense. On the veterans issue is actually a fascinating one that I didn't fully appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
What veterans are dealing with coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, our guys are living with every single day.
PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Our guys are warriors, they're warriors. Mm-hmm. And thinking through how we do some things together, we're having some very interesting conversations. I have heard, and this, again, breaks my heart, I've had veterans say they felt safer in Iraq and Afghanistan than they do back home. And what these guys have in common is a lot, and how they can support each other and grow together. I think there's a really interesting idea there.
Some organic solutions here. Baisheen in Montgomery, Alabama. Thank you for calling, Baisheen. You're on the air.
Hey, I just want to say thank y'all to y'all black men been able to get education. Now I work in prisons. So the same thing that y'all are doing is what the guys are saying in prisons, that they need jobs and so forth and so on. But my question, so what you're doing is great. You're giving, providing what they need. But my question is for younger guys, 13, 14, 15, 16, we need to be able to get them before they get to prison. So my question is about that age bracket. What are we going to do for those guys?
So great question. We didn't talk about this earlier, but we can't begin to do this all ourselves. But the city of Chicago funded about 25,000 summer jobs this summer for young people. We added to that with funding from Emerson to hire about another 4,700 young people on the south and west sides, which was fantastic in trying to give young kids an opportunity. It's not just the money, which they definitely need. It's a chance to build their skills and be around good mentors and role models. And we have to do what we have to walk and chew gum. We have to take guys who are struggling now, that 17 to 24-year-olds, and help them transition. We also have to make sure those young kids, 13, 14, 15, have an opportunity to stay on the right path. I said earlier, Tom, the number of guys I've talked to elsewhere, where it's something around 13 or 14, where they find themselves as the men of their house. Mm-hmm. And that is not fair. That is not right, but that's reality. And it's a fork in the road there. And we either give them an opportunity to have mentors, to have role models, to have some income, or they are going to find that someplace else. And the truth is, the gangs, the guys in the corners, they out-recruit us. They're more strategic than
us.
They're right there. They're there. Rain, snow, sleet, mm-hmm. shine. They're there every day, and we're not present. That's not their fault. That's our fault.
Can this scale, after all the struggles we've done over so many years, can you scale this so it really takes on this problem, not just in Chicago, but nationally?
Well, I think, we're not ready to scale. We have a lot to learn. You know, we're still very small, but the problem is a particularly acute here in Chicago. It's a crisis, but it's not a Chicago-only issue. We got to solve this nationally.
Arne Duncan is former U.S. Secretary of Education. You can hear his effort right here in Chicago, and he's not alone in it. Carl Vinay is in on it. He's joined us in the studio, 23 years old, this hour from Pullman. Thank you so much for being here, Carl.
No problem.
And Curtis Toler, right at Arne Duncan's side. Thank you so much for being here, Kurt. Great
thank
to have all
me.
Of you here today. There is some hope. People working on it right at the local level. Listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.